Hey, what's up, everyone out there? Thank you so much for tuning into another Addicted Fishing podcast. It's going to be an exciting one because we have some really exciting events coming up. This is my favorite time of year. We always kind of get all, Cam tries to make these faces like he doesn't have fun, but it is an amazing time at these shows. I love them. I love getting to interact with all the fans that come hang out and see us and take pictures and all the little kids. It's like every year, these last couple of years, I've been making coloring books. So I made a new one again this year. Last year I did 5,000. I gave away 5,000 coloring books at both shows. And I'm going to do the same thing this year. I did 3,500 this year. So did a 2.0 version. But with that being said, we have Mr. Trey in here. You want to introduce yourself?
You bet. Trey Karskaden, and I'm with the Sportsman Shows.
The Sportsman Shows. So if you guys didn't pick up on that when I was kind of introing that out, that is what I'm talking about. The Pacific Northwest Sportsman Show, the Washington Sportsman Show, and the Central Oregon Show, correct?
Correct. The biggest of the bunch. I got to tell you, I love, I have from the very beginning, one of the things that's impressed me the most about you guys is what you do with the kids, how you celebrate kids and fishing and bring them forward and embrace that in a way that I've never seen in the time I've been in the business. And it's heartwarming.
Appreciate that, Trey. It's always been a big, mission of mine. You know my background. A lot of the addicts that listen to the podcast know my background. And so that's why I've always really just been super passionate about getting kids excited to get outdoors, whether it's fishing, hunting, I don't care what it is, just getting outside, because our ever-changing world just doesn't have kids outside anymore. It's sad.
Yeah, we need more of that. And, this year at the Sportsman Shows, there's a lot of, Portland's going to be amazing. We're kind of running with, it's going to be big. Washington.
It's going to be big. That's the slogan.
That's our hook for that. For Washington, it's unleash your inner outdoorsman. And because there's, a bunch of really cool stuff going on in Washington.
And the scones. If there's one thing, if there's one thing you should get at the Washington show, it is the strawberry scones.
Well, for me, it's Central Oregon. There's two things. The huckleberry smoothies. They are amazing.
What? We didn't even know about this.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Clint, how do we not know about this?
I've never been.
They're amazing. And they're in the big building, the arena. And then there's this Mexican restaurant that's just down the street across from the Applebee's. It's off the hook. Just incredible. I would drive there for lunch from Tualatin. Right. So
we're going to try to make it a two-day thing this time. Remember, we talked about doing that, trying to make it like a...
Oh, yeah.
It was your idea.
Yeah, no. I figured, we're going to drive down there. There's some steel heading down there.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of fish. some sort of fish we can catch down there, you know what I mean? So let's just start from the top. Yeah. First of all, I got to ask Cam, what is your favorite part about the sports?
I gave you that look at the start of this, and you kind of called me out, like that look of dread and fear, because it is super busy. But then you go there, and then you start talking to people, and then you start talking to kids, and then you start to see people that you haven't seen all year long, because it's kind of like that whole industry community there. And then you start, then Friday afternoon rolls in, and then all the kids roll in, and then it's a party, and then it almost remotivates you for the whole rest of the year. This is why we do this. This is why we bang our heads against the wall sometimes. Just because you get to see that result. It's not online. We see the viewership, we see the stuff on the YouTube and stuff like that, but then face to face, it's a whole different story. So it's definitely amazing. Worth it.
Yeah. Especially the last couple of years, it's just been mind blowing to me to walk around the show and just see all the addicted gear and all the people coming to the booths. It's really, really cool.
Yeah. It was fun. The first year I worked with you guys on all this, you guys were surprised, to say the least. You didn't see it coming. And the reception at the shows and the way people have, myself included, taken to the whole addicted concept is amazing. I've been doing this since I was out of college, so over 40 years. I haven't seen anything like it. So you guys have definitely created a new path. These movies that you do, and you're premiering your newest one, Steelhead Alley, can't wait for that, are so well done, so beautifully produced, and it's just people are like out of their minds watching because it's an event. And so for us to be able to, it's really a privilege for us to be able to you know, premiere this with you guys in our three shows.
I'm super excited about it. So there's still some tickets available, guys. If you guys want to come to these shows, you can go on the Addicted Fishing website and get your Steelhead Alley premiere tickets. We will be at Washington, Oregon, and Central Oregon. Tickets still available at all the shows. So
yeah, there's not many left for Washington. I know nope. Portland's going quick too. So the worst possible thing, and you hate it when it happens, when these sell out and folks really want to go and there's just not a seat left. And
last year I called Bill and I was like, Bill, what are the chances I can let like another 50 people into this event? Cause I'm getting a bunch of people asking me if they can get in. And he kind of gave me the go ahead to do it, knowing that they may not have seats, but we did it anyway. And it worked out.
If you show up in Washington, any of the three shows, we have the kids trap on, and we're really making a push on this year. With all three shows, there's some beautiful fish in there. I mean, upwards of 8 pounds, but there's a lot of kids. That's where they got their start. Fishing was in these trout ponds.
That's true.
And they're going to be loaded with fish, and we encourage, everything's provided. It's free. Come on out, get started, have fun. Kids 12 and under. The seminar series, which Cameron's a part of, thank you, is probably the best that we've ever put together. It's all A-listers. For the most part, they're only doing one seminar in the 4 or 5 day show run, depending on what show it is. And so look at the seminar schedules for each of the shows. We had people getting upset with us last year because they came to the show, they saw the seminar schedule, and they went, I came from Central Oregon to Portland or Eastern Washington to the Washington show, and I really needed to book 2 days because I could spend all day just in the seminars and then another full day walking the show. So, that's kind of the
it
program.
Definitely. Yeah. I would agree with you, Trey. Like, you got to plan, because if you plan on going and going to 2 or 3 seminars, you will not have time to walk the shows for sure.
Yeah.
So try to go 2 days if you can. What were you going to say, Cam?
I was just going to say, I'm like, when you were talking about the trout pond and getting all the kids excited, like, how many of those trout make it back to our booth?
Yeah.
Like, kids come in and they got like this bag and they're like, look, and you're like, oh, it's another trout. Yeah. And you're like, you got to be super excited for them. Like, did you catch that one? Yeah. I think every one of those trout end up back at our booth somehow. So.
Yeah, they love to bring them back to the booth.
That's
why
I'm laughing a bit, because it's like, oh, that's right, the trout. It's good
stuff. We have a couple, you know, some of the guys that are regularly on your show that you know that are friends, Jared Higginbotham and Bill Herzog are teaming up to do a thing called Troutapalooza. And so that's going to be a cool deal. They'll be throwing out spinners. You know, they're taking it out of you guys' playbook of the giveaways. That's going to be a standing room only deal. Jared's doing a thing just on called Anatomy of a Plug, and he's doing that in Portland and in Washington, and he's going to go through all the tuning and ways you can trick them out and all that. But if you look down the list from the Robert Kratzers and, I mean, just A-lister after A-lister after A-lister, we got a lot to offer this
year. You have a
just
couple B-listers, seminars. Too, because you have Cam in there.
No.
Oh, for sure.
A-plus.
A-plus lister.
A-plus. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Jordan. So, and we're grateful to have Jordan coming as well as...
I probably should tell Jordan he's doing a seminar at the first show.
I think he's number one, like, first up Wednesday.
He's in Chile, so I just haven't been talking to him much because he's been salmon fishing in Chile. He sent me a picture today of an absolute giant.
The back end of him good?
I don't know. The one he sent me today was ridiculous.
So did you finally get that one that broke him off? Or
I don't know if he's gotten any monsters. I don't know if he has. I feel like he's gotten a lot of like 40s, I think one or two into the 50s, but he hasn't caught anything in that like 60, 70.
So was this the Retribution Tour?
Yeah, it was. He was literally trying to go catch the world record. He's been there for 2 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's doing some other stuff too, trying to figure out how he's going to do lodging down there and getting boats set up, because he's going to be, you know, trying to run trips down there.
Oh, wow.
That's his plans. So
good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
It'll be a cool, he keeps telling me he wants it to be like his legacy, like figuring out that area of Chile. Cause no one's down there. He's the only, like they call him the gringo. There's the one gringo, like all the Chile, you know, the natives down there are all calling him that. Cause he's the only white dude down there. Like there's no white people.
It's that part of the world down in Patagonia. There's just nothing like him. I mean, it's singular in how beautiful and majestic and cool it is, and remote.
They're really remote.
I mean, next stop, Antarctica.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of cool, like, there's a ton of trout lodges and stuff there where, you know, in you can remote fly fish in a lot of those upper trout lodges, but there's just no one salmon fishing. It's just not tapped. Like, no one's doing it.
Wow.
So they drove 4 hours north to another river that was even more remote, and Jordan said he had basically three of his best days salmon fishing of his entire life. Like, he said it was just nonstop, just every fish. Is like, they didn't catch one under 30.
And those fish all come from here,
oh,
right?
Don't get me started.
Yeah. But you have to remember, there, the biggest difference over there is their habitat is not touched.
Right.
Like, not, I mean, there, it's just so beautiful, the mountain ranges and the forests. And the, I mean, you have old growth timber that's been there for centuries, like, just untouched. And then the government, the Chilean government, really, now this is something that our government can take notes from, they really value the fish, like, majorly. Like, they have a whole sick time of the year you can't even fish. It's, like, illegal. You can't even cast a line. Because they have their time of year that's, like, this is the sport fishing time of year. And then they have all sorts of protections in place. They allow zero commercial fishing. None. It's, like, completely against the law. So they're really big into making sure that that's a good fishery over there. So it's cool.
So it must be plenty of feed in the ocean, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, that too. But I think, like, when you have, like, they actually value the fish and they value the numbers and they want to have a productive sport fishery, I'm sure that brings in tourism dollars for all those trout lodges and just all of it. They kind of value that, and that's what you get, especially for a non-native species.
Yeah,
that's what it is down there, and it thrives.
Well, even Florida, look PA. Weird. And Florida. Why are we the only, like, states that don't double down on non-native species? Like, peacock bass, non-native, and Florida's like, screw it, let's double down on this and release them everywhere. Like, this is great for tourism. I feel like we should be doing the same, you know, like stocking more hatchery fish trade.
Because our departments don't give a crap about you. Sorry, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't.
Well, there's more money coming for hatcheries. I can tell you that for sure. And a lot more money. The Mitchell Act number went up like threefold. So you'll see more production coming, and you're going to see...
Do you think that will be spread across regions, or will it be more towards Columbia River Basin?
Well, Mitchell Act will be Columbia Basin. But the hatchery infrastructure, the repairs and the upgrades, you know, that's... Right now, at about $500 million, which is by far the most money we've seen coming to the region for
crazy
for hatcheries. And so with the upgrades will come production as well. And that was a long the story behind that
is for long another podcast.
And, oh, yeah, it's convoluted. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of why you get involved in other things, to create these relationships in government that open other doors. And it takes a long time. I mean, the people that have been working on these things have been working on them for 30 years. And before, we never had a voice. And now, you know, the voice that we have, you only have two or three or four people really heavily engaged in this stuff that are really rolling the rock, you know. And it takes, if there was more, we could get more done. You know, and we absolutely could. But it takes so long, it's slow, but we are making progress. I would love to see that, you know. I mean... There isn't anybody in the industry that wouldn't want to see the kind of success that they're having in Chile. You know, I mean, it'd be, you know, I hate to say it, but a game changer, but that's exactly what it would be up here. The tourism and the economics that go with it. The Columbia River feeds communities from Riggins, Idaho to Southeast Alaska. And it should be a multi-billion dollar economy on its own. And it just isn't, you know, it's, as you guys know, I know you know, Cameron, there's a lot in play right now trying to change that. And every single one of these things that we get involved in, it doesn't matter whether it was mass marking in the early 90s, whether it was spill, you know, in the mid-90s and late 90s, whether it was marine reserves in the, you know, mid-2000, you know, 2008, 9, 10. Every one of those has been hard fought, and the sport fishing community has hated the people that got involved, and they've taken their licks, and it was very difficult work. But in the end, the benefits were there. You know, the marine reserves have proved themselves to be productive, and they were limited in scope, but you'll probably see more of those coming because, you know, the surf perch populations have rebounded, the nearshore halibut fishery has been created, You don't have the closures in Labor Day like we used to with the bottom fishing. You know, the things that happened with spill was kind of nibbling at the crust, but we saw some of the advantages of that. In the Columbia system, we need more of that. Fish need more of that. There's just, you know, but all this, each one of those is a huge undertaking. And it's like...
The spill thing has always been confusing to me. Why the hell wouldn't we just let water out?
Well, BPA thinks they own every drop of water in the river. And, you know, so you're fighting these big infrastructures.
There's not enough water?
There's not enough water.
They...
What?
So not enough water for what they want to do for power consumption.
But they want to take the water and send it down to California in a pipe. But there's not enough water.
I guarantee you, when they do that, it's worth a whole lot more money.
Yeah, so crazy.
No, the problem with the water is there's just not enough water. So they do the spill program where they time those releases, and then that was the government or the FDA or not the FDA, but the federal government mandated them to do that. Which is why April 6th every year we see a big influx of water down in our lower, which everyone thinks it's just to kill the springer bite, but you know, whatever, right?
Well, yeah, there's times when the river is managed on such a low margin in the summer months, and particularly in the fall, where those fish are spawning in the islands below Bonneville Dam, their backs are out of the water. And that's how, you know, when the tide goes out and they're managing the water supply, that's how narrow the margin is that they're managing it on. Well, so it's
sad. So I mean, going back to the chili point though, and like my comment of the government, which kind of spurred this, but my thing is like, there's a reason why we put wolves, and there's a reason why we put grizzly bears, and the reason why Colorado's putting wolves in is because the government wanting to study it apparatus is bigger than the sport fishing influence. And that is proven up and down the coast as far as the North Washington steelhead, what we do in the Columbia River. Like, we know the answers, like, to create bountiful, like, productive sport fisheries. We just don't do it. We have our managers and our local district biologists, some of them have every excuse in the world not to do them, even when they're working so productively in other areas, and they choose not to do them because there's a lot more money in stocks that are being recovered than that are recovered. 100%.
And I don't know what the exact number is between Oregon and Washington, but say it's roughly 250,000, between 250 and 300,000 tags that are sold each year. If you could just get 100,000 of those tag holders, salmon steelhead tag holders, to engage with their legislators, we can make a huge difference.
There's that too.
One of the things that holds us back, and I think frankly one of the biggest things that holds us back is ourselves, is us getting on the same page. And, you know, figuring a way to get to a point where we can get more of what we need and what we want, and with a unified message. And it can be a simple message, but, and it doesn't have to be a polished message.
Hashtag accountability in fisheries, the end.
Yeah, or I vote, I fish, I vote.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, ultimately we are, you know, we're a special interest group, and we're a powerful special interest group if we could just get together.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to get you in for another podcast to talk more about that stuff.
For sure.
I think it'd be a really interesting one. Any other exciting sportsman show stuff we want? We're running out of time here on our podcast, but.
Well, in Portland, Portland's going to be very big.
Hey, guys, Portland's, it's going to be big.
Going to be big. All three shows, we have Randy Newberg. Randy Newberg is a public lands advocate and hunter. And he's doing a thing this year. He's doing all new seminar series, but one of them is Marriage 101 for Elk Hunters.
That's epic.
And he says,
that's a thing.
That is so funny.
Marlon, are you going to sit in the front row there, buddy?
I should.
And he said, here, you'll love this. He goes, and this is from a guy that hunts 100 days a year and has been happily married for 35 years. You need to attend. And then he's doing some other things on how to hunt elk every
year.
That's
so funny.
How to hunt elk every year, and here's how. He's another one on e-scouting and using technology for better hunting.
That's a good one.
So,
I talked about that in my latest video. I talked a lot about just utilizing technology, and I think more influencers, more, you know, advocates like us should talk more about that because it'll help a lot of these new guys that just don't understand.
Cameron's doing a thing for us on... electronics.
Yep. Another highly underutilized tool.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, him, you know, when I heard about him using spot lock sturgeon fish and not putting an anchor out, brilliant. Yeah. That's true, right?
Yeah. Last few years.
Really? Well, I feel like, again, in that seminar, anyone who's trying to learn more about electronics, like, go
it's
to that
be a
seminar.
Lot of,
because
it's
the thing is about electronics, I feel like so many people just use it to, like,
see the depth.
There's a fish or the depth. And then
they
a lot of times they're not even
like.
Know what a fish looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, they're looking at current turbulence.
It's a lot
stuff.
To be learned here.
We are really going to break it down. Like, I got a ton of, like, screenshots and stuff that I've saved, and we're going to, like, pop the screens up and be like, okay, what are you looking at when you're actually using side imaging? Like, what are you actually using it when you're using your down imaging? How can you build a map, and what's the importance of actually utilizing, like, the contour mapping on a lot of, I mean, you know, we're, you know, it's going to be very hummingbird centric because, you know, those are the guys that I'm partnered up with, but the technologies the technologies right. are going to be able to be applied everywhere.
Yep.
And I think just, yeah, showing people that and giving them some ideas on, like, well, is side imaging worth using while you're anchored? And, you know, like, how do you use side imaging like kokanee fishing? And how can you, like, what are you seeing when you're doing that versus when you're not seeing them on your 2D? Like, what's it all mean? So it should be really good.
It's going to be cool.
Should be fun.
And then also you have another big guest coming to Portland.
Portland, Steve Ranella. He's there for one day. He's the... he's associated with Meat Eater, and he's a big deal, and also he's a friend of the Newbergs. They're all out of Bozeman, Montana, but he'll be there on Thursday from 2 to 4, and in the Sportsman Theater ahead of you guys. So you guys are that
easy. Is that a paid event or is that a free event?
That's a free event, but that's courtesy of First Light, Meat Eater, Phelps Calls. They're all in bringing him in, and that's a, you know. There's other shows going on at the same time, so he's literally flying from one show to that show to do it for the day, and then he's headed to another one. So we were fortunate to, you know, have him attend the Portland show. And then it just goes from there. I mean, there's one of the things, and I can't believe there's not, like, a line around the building for it, but there's a thing called Fistful of Cheaters that anybody that comes in, you know, signs in to be a part of it. They step up, they grab a handful of cheaters, put them in a cup. Whatever you put in the cup is yours, but if it has a logo on it, a Toyota logo, then you get, I mean, we have camp stoves, high-end fishing rods, reels, tackle, crab gear, all kinds of stuff, and it's free. That's one of several free promotions that are at, you know, both Washington and Portland.
Cool.
Yeah. And not to mention what goes on Thursday night from 6 to 9.
Yep. We got the Addicted event Thursday night, 6 to 9.
In Portland, and Saturday, 6 to 9 in Washington.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Yep, and this will be your guys' first opportunity this year during our Bass Circuit, Trey. I don't even know if you know this, but we're giving away a Clacka Craft drift boat.
Oh!
So if you come to any of our 12 bashes, which we'll do 3, one at Washington, one at Portland, and one at Central Oregon, then we'll have 9 other at different locations throughout the year. Come to one of those events, you get a raffle ticket. Every one of those events you come to, and someone's winning a drift boat.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was about the second or third drift boat I owned was a Clacka Craft. Loved it.
Yeah. We're partnered with those guys this year. So
good guys.
I'm super excited. I'm going to be getting one of those power drifters, which I've always wanted. One of those things, I think it would be really cool to own one of those.
It'd be dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll probably wreck it a couple times.
Well, I saw the video of Big Dave and Nick.
Yep. Ripping around the...
That looked like fun.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Looked like a lot of fun. So, yeah, we're excited to be partnered with those guys. So we got that giveaway. We have free food, drinks like we always do. And then it will be a bash format. I think we're going to make it rain with spin glows again. We got like 10,000 spin glows from Yakima Bait. So we'll be throwing 10,000 spin glows out into the audience.
That is such a big deal. Because those things retail for like, what is it, like 60 cents a piece now?
Yeah.
They're like $1.29. Where have you been? Oh yeah, they're more than a buck.
He did 12,000 last year, but the news was, yeah, that's a lot of them to do, but you couldn't buy them anywhere.
Yeah,
retailers didn't have them. He threw out 12,000.
That's because Jared swiped them all.
Apparently. Yeah.
Jared, man.
The cool thing too is it was so fun watching. All the kids. There was kids on the ground like going like this, like shoveling them into their shirts.
Kids?
And stuff.
There was full grown 50-year-old adults doing it, dude.
Hilarious.
It was like Spinnacle Palooza.
Oh
yeah,
hilarious. So
and the floor was absolutely clean at the end.
Well,
of
there
that.
Wasn't one left.
There wasn't one left.
Yeah, no. We'll be doing that again this year. I got some other little special things planned that I haven't told anyone about. We have a ton of new limited items that we're bringing out. There'll be some again, I'm not going to sneak them out yet, but we'll be sneaking them out over the next week or two. But we have a bunch of new limited items you'll be able to get at our booth this year that'll only be available at the Sportsman Show.
We got we have a bunch of that coming to both Portland and Washington. So have what you guys have for swag. There's new lures being introduced, new blades being introduced, new rods being introduced, tons and tons of show specials. I think you guys both know this, but the Portland show is the number one retail show in the country in sportsman show category. The importance of that is that people know when that door's open that there are deals to be had. Wednesday's the day to be there,
yep.
Thursday, Friday. By the time you get to the weekend, you know, I mean, the retailers have done their job, and they're bringing tons of inventory. But get there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's kind of a pro tip for the
yep.
for the sports shows.
Well, we're doing deals every day. We're giving away something free every day when you come to our booth at All In Shop. So we have free items that I've picked for every single, all 5 days.
How many days can I win in a row?
You can win every day if you come buy something.
Oh, I got to buy something. Yeah. Well, okay, I'll do that.
Also, we've been sneaking this out a little bit, but we have limited maglips at every one of the bashes, and we only have 50. They are numbered 1 to 50, and you can only get them at the bash events. So if you want one of those limited plugs, if you've been collecting our plugs, you want an opportunity to get something that's limited, numbered 1 to 50, you can only get them at the events in the movies. So they're going to be there, and there's 3 different plugs. So if you want to come to all 3 bashes, you want 3 different plugs, Clint will be there. I got one set aside for you, buddy. Don't worry.
One or one of each?
One of each. I got you. I got
$29.99.
It's a special.
Sorry, didn't I give you a 00 one?
It's a special color nobody knows about. One. Chrome and chartreuse.
What?
I didn't even get a 00 one.
No, not.
Yeah. What'd you say?
It's a special color that nobody knows about.
Exactly.
It's called chrome and chartreuse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
The only one that works.
Yeah. No. Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, we got to jump off here and get onto our live feed. If you guys didn't know, every single Wednesday, we are doing live feeds on Facebook and YouTube. So tune in with us every single week, 6:30 p.m. We're talking fishing. Sometimes we're live on the water. We got to go run, but appreciate you coming into the podcast, Trey.
Thank you very much.
See you guys at Washington Sportsman Show, Portland Sportsman Show, or Central Oregon Sportsman Show. It's going to be fun, and we'll see you on the river.